This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Rachel Downey and Olivia Fox. Well, hello. Welcome to Pitch Talk on this fine Friday evening. How are you, Olivia?
Friday evening. That's quite a nice way of putting this. Yeah, that's optimistic...
It is.
End of the working day, end of the working week. We're on to the weekend and we're going to be bringing you all the latest, greatest fitness and sport news, trends, gossip, and counting you down to that 6 p.m. Friday afternoon.
Do you know what? You sound a bit like we're doing Top of the Pops, but it's good. And we're going to count you down to the UK's number one.
You know what? I was actually floundering at the end of that sentence, kind of thinking, Rachel, start talking.
For the love of... Well, we've got a lot to talk about. One of the biggest things, though, let's go straight into it, is the England-Germany game happening this evening at Wembley. Germany, the titans that are the German team against a very inexperienced 11. I'm already very, very excited and scared. The first thing actually I want to talk about is Chelsea star Danny Drinkwater's England snub. Gareth Southgate has revealed that Danny Drinkwater turned down an England call-up because he didn't feel ready. Now, for me, and this is something that a lot of the press has been talking about, is the amount of injured players that have had to pull out and not take part in this game. Yes, it is a friendly, but how dare Danny Drinkwater turn down an offer to play for his country?
Has he played for his country before?
I don't think he has. And the fact is, I don't think he should be asked to play for England again. What do you think?
What, you think it's like a one refusal out?
I don't think you should refuse to play.
I don't know.
Country.
I think actually it probably takes a lot of balls to be honest enough to say, actually, no, mate, I'm not ready.
No, I totally don't agree. You don't get the German players doing that at all. You wouldn't get other players from other bigger teams doing the same thing.
So you think our players shouldn't have the option?
I think if you get called up to play for your country, I think it should be the most amazing thing. And if you look at it, you've got Raheem Sterling, Fabian Delph, Jordan Henderson have had to pull out the squad due to injury, plus the Spurs trio, Dele Alli, Harry Winks and Harry Kane have also pulled out.
Well, maybe we're not knowing. Maybe we don't know the whole story. Maybe there is another reason that it's inadvisable for him to be on the England squad at this particular moment in time.
I just think, and this is another thing, obviously we've got Eric Dier, who's captain, set to make their debut is Tammy Abraham and Ruben Loftus-Cheek. I think Ruben Loftus-Cheek is an amazing player. I'm so, so excited to see him play if he does start.
So you're harping back now to what we talked about last weekend. Sorry, harping back. That was a little bit mean. We're talking again.
What did harping back started from? Did you get a harp and go backwards?
I was at a wedding recently that had a harp. We digress. So we're talking again about whether or not we should be putting the lesser experienced players onto the starting squad for England.
Yeah, it is a very inexperienced squad we've got. It is. We've got three debuts going on. Obviously, Jack Butland has broken his finger, so he can't play either. I'm excited that I'm pointing. This, do you know what? When I am excited, I point.
Rachel's a real finger pointy.
I talk with my hands a lot. I'm very excited with our England team because I do think Gareth Southgate can mould them, the inexperienced ones, can mould them to what he wants. And I was reading Ruben Loftus-Cheek actually said, because people have said the same thing, you know, you're inexperienced. We need experienced players on this international stage. He actually came forward and said, well, as a footballer, dealing with pressure, expectations, it's just normal. Even from a younger age, I've been used to it. I was tipped to be the one to break through, so it's nothing new to me. It is true. I guess with someone like Loftus-Cheek, he had that pressure to be the best and he's come through. I still worry. I still think we should have someone like Jack Wilshere. There's a huge furore. There we go. Furore. About why Wilshere hasn't been asked to play. Do you not worry? They need more experienced players.
I think you've got to start somewhere, mate.
Yeah. Thanks, mate.
Is that the answer you're hoping for?
Do you know what? I like it. Cheers, mate. Well, tell you what, I had the pleasure of going to the, well, the honour of going to the Football Blacklist.
Yes.
On Wednesday. We have footage I'm going to play out a bit later on in the show, but I'm never starstruck, but I was a little starstruck when I met Brighton's Chris Hughton. I think he's an amazing manager, one of those like unsung managers. Now I think people are standing up and taking notice of his work and the way he has is transforming his players. But this is what he had to say about the England team. How excited are you for our England team at the moment?
There's an incredible amount of talent in the team, and I'm of the opinion that once it happens, then it will happen a lot. If I look at the England team at the moment, the question marks are always, well, why has that talent, you know, not brought success? And if I look at, you know, the Italians and the Germans and certainly in more recently as the Spanish, I think the reason why they've won things is because they've won things. And they've had the confidence of already having won it. Once England win that European Championships or win that World Cup, then I think that will give them the confidence to continue developing.
Well, look, thank you so much for talking to us. It's been an absolute pleasure. Now, that was Brighton's Chris Hughton. I interviewed him at the Football Blacklist on Wednesday. I'm going to just step to one side, talking about England. Breaking news coming in. We've got Marseille defender Patrice Evra. He's been banned from matches and UEFA competitions for 7 months for kicking one of his own supporters before a Europa League match.
Yes.
It's also been fined as well, €10,000. We spoke about this last time.
Yeah.
Yes, he shouldn't have done it at all. He reacted on emotion. The fans, the fan that he kicked was abusing him with racial abuse. I want to know what is going to happen to that fan. He should get a lifelong ban.
Do we know that, though? Is there any kind of audio of what
I don't know
said?
Exactly, but that's what has been reported, that even earlier on the same thing was happening with racist chants.
I mean, I would say, hands on heart, it is very, very difficult to police that kind of thing, but there needs to be a precedent set, and that sort of antisocial behaviour should result in some sort of a ban.
Lifelong ban. A lifelong ban. If you are going to be that supporter, that fan that turns the game and, you know, into going back into the Middle Ages, I'm trying not to swear when I talk about this, they should have a lifelong ban. Football is beginning to go backwards because the amount of racism that's still going on, it's disgusting. Now, Gareth Southgate has told England fans to behave tonight. Some supporters made Nazi gestures and sang anti-German songs when the teams met in Dortmund in March. Yes, lifelong bans, disgusting. I can't believe we're even in today's day and age having to say this. I can't believe that this is still an issue. It's the most frustrating thing. We touched briefly on this last time. Now, I'm a Jewish girl. I can't believe that if I were to go to Wembley tonight, there is a chance my fans, people on the, you know, the England side, there's a chance a few, and it's only a few, will be doing the Nazi salute. It's absolutely disgusting. And, you know, we will talk a little bit more about this, actually, when we talk about the Football Blacklist. But it does seem that it's moving very, very slowly. You know, I don't know what rugby's like and other, but I think with football, there is still this element of racism.
It's a little bit strange. I think with football, there seems to be a lot more almost baiting and trying to get a reaction out of these players. It's long been said that rugby, it's just a different sort of atmosphere in the stadiums. I think there's a lot more respect amongst supporters. I think with football supporters, there's a lot more emotion. There's a lot more allegiances, perhaps, that have gone back years through families. And I think it does get a little bit heated. What I think is just completely inexcusable is essentially baiting a player into reacting. And these are men and women at the peak of physical ability who are trained to be completely in the zone, to have their testosterone, their adrenaline, their cortisol, everything super, super high.
Yeah.
And then you go and say something disgusting to them. I'm sorry, you can't do that, obviously, but I don't know many people who would be able to hold back in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, again, he shouldn't have reacted. I mean, to get that 7-month ban is, I find it disgusting. There's a lot to be done with football, and again, it starts in the grassroots. It starts with black people, and there's no black people as CEOs in football. Top of the boardrooms, there isn't any. There's only 4 black football managers in the Premier League. There's so much that still needs to be done. And
you know what?
I get very passionate about it.
I do also think that this could almost be setting a really negative precedent in that it becomes a new tactic for players essentially to be removed from sides. So it becomes very easily a tactic that fans can use to try and goad players into reacting. And I think...
And they've seen, they've got it, so they can get rid
of
their... Yeah, especially the slightly, I was going to say, explosive players. I don't mean that, but the players maybe that
players
you know you can
known.
Get reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's so there we go. So
that's
Patrice
our rant
Evra,
of the day.
Yeah. Patrice Evra has been banned by UEFA for 7 months. That's the breaking news there. Now, very quickly, we've only got a few more minutes, and then I'll be welcoming in our studio guest. I want to talk to you about video technology, so goal line technology. So Builders Northern Ireland's biggest home match in more than 30 years. Northern Ireland against Switzerland yesterday. There was a controversial penalty given. Northern Ireland's manager O'Neill has said this is the worst decision ever. It wasn't a handball. It's ridiculous. If goal line technology, however, was in action in last night's game, it probably wouldn't have given it a penalty. What do you think about goal line technology?
I think this is a really difficult one because we're seeing it across so many different sports. We've got it in Wimbledon, we've got it in rugby, we've got it in football, and it's now getting to the point where we can all be the referee and we can doubt a referee's decision and we can force their hand. And yes, we need to move with the times and it is good that we can verify decisions, but there has to be it's a fine line.
And do you know what? I agree with you,
do
Olivia
you?
Cox.
Stop it.
I agree. Oh, you're teasing. No, I agree with you. I think goal line technology is a good thing in football. I don't want it to slow the game down.
I don't. What I would not want to see is it fueling discontent, shall we say, when decisions go... because essentially it gives you the ability to say quite categorically that a decision was wrong.
Yes, and I tell you, when I watch a football game, especially a Spurs game, as a Spurs fan,
yes.
I believe I am better than any of the players there. I would have done it completely better. I'm better than any referee. But that's, like you said, we're the fans, and that's what you still need in a game. Goal line technology, it will make a great difference. Interesting, though, it's on tonight's game. Tonight's England-Germany game, friendly. There will be goal line technology.
Can I just ask, pulling you up on that, can you play football?
I can play air freestyle football very, very well. It's not an actual thing.
Air free... What's that?
It's freestyle football without the football.
Yeah. Right, well, you heard it here first. Rachel Downey will be shouting at that TV screen later, telling the players how to play based on her air football
Do you know what,
skills.
I really wanted to learn freestyle football, and I think I got a football. I've still got it.
I mean, that is the first step.
It's always a winner. And I think I dribbled it slightly and then stopped. It takes a lot of work. It's a lot of skill.
Of course you did, Downey.
Yeah, but I am. But in all seriousness, though, I am very, very good, but without the football. But I am, I think, tell me if this is a skill, but I am really, really good. I am really, really good. I could do it falling on the back of my neck. See, it fell. And then, oh, it's on my front. You can't see this,
so
but this is good.
What you're telling me... Well, actually, they can.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
What you're telling me is that you're good at mime.
I'm so good. I'm dressed like a mime artist today.
Well,
so I am very, very good at mime.
I'm going to bail Rachel out of this and quickly move on to more that you can look out for. Coming up on the show, we're going to be talking fitness and health. And I have got for you the most fun ways to work out, these secret sly workouts that you don't even know are workouts because they're so much fun, then why the gym might actually be losing you friends. interesting. A great excuse just to skip
it's
it.
To not have friends.
Rachel's counting her friends right now. And finally, the fourth fuel, which is the latest supplement craze backed by science that we're all apparently going to be taking soon.
It's exciting. Well, so I had to add the excitement.
Thanks. Thank you for the validation there.
It's all right, babe,
I did
anytime.
My homework on the way here.
I'm so proud.
Thanks.
So proud. Well, we're going to take a little breather, a short break. By the way, if you want to tweet us, please do at FUBA Radio. You can email us, pitch@fubaradio.com. I would like an email. Should we have it? Can someone email us?
You know what? I'd like an email. I would like it not to be from my father. Because I don't
have a say on that.
Yeah. If anyone who's not my dad is listening.
Yes.
Dad, I love you.
But don't.
Stop threatening to email us. Someone else email us.
Don't email Olivia. do not go anywhere. We have our studio guest. We've got Formal E race driver Mitch Evans in the studio entertaining you all. So enjoy this little breather. Go get yourself a glass of water and we'll see you very, very soon.
FUBAR Radio presents.
Well, hello there. This is FUBAR Radio. I'm Harriet Rose.
We've got a great show today.
Very refreshing view on sex in a song, because a lot of people are a little bit more like, don't have sex with me because I love you.
You're that's like, not me.
But you're like, I want to have sex and I want you to never speak to me again.
Hello. You are listening to the news-ish radio show. I'm, of course, Sean Walsh, joined, as always, by Mark Simmons.
That's me.
What's up, motherfuckers?
What are you talking about? That is not you. I hope you know what Mark Simmons looks like. It does not. Mark Simmons looks, he's gangly, sort of lanky, right. goggled eyed.
Yeah, goggled eyed.
Ginger, awkward freak.
You're locked into FUBAR.
It's myself, Sarah Love.
And myself, Miles Dickey.
Do you know what Buddha says?
What does he say? He say them worship some big belly fat man. What does Buddha say anyway?
He basically says, you can only lose what you cling to.
Woo! Things, just let it go.
Hello, it's Lucy Candy and...
It's Stephen Lang, I'm not singing it.
Sorry.
Today I saw you were with
Angie Best, the first original WAG. She looked incredible. And do you know she had a night with Elvis Presley? She said, my son looked like Elvis. And I said, how do you know? And she went, well, I had a night with him.
Really?
It's true, honestly.
I am Michael Payne.
Hi, I'm Ruth Sanders.
And this is FUBAR Radio.
I came head to head with, I would describe as a roadman. And do you know you do that thing when you step to the right, then you step to the left, and then vice versa? Yeah. And then, yeah. You know when you make the person laugh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
Did the most serious cha-cha ever.
Yeah, ever. I had my headphones and he was probably doing that roadman laugh. You know, when the mouth isn't open.
Yeah, yeah, just...
Oh, hello, my name's Joey Page. I sound like this. He's Si Thomas, he sounds like that.
I said, well, yeah, I sound like this.
Yeah. And we will be playing Human Top Trumps. I ask all the bands that are on the show the same questions, like the categories from Top Trumps. One question I'm going to be asking the bands is, do you have a nickname? Like, mine's fairly standard. Pagey, Page, Dickhead.
Good afternoon, it's Friday, it's 4 o'clock, it's Back Row and Chill. I'm Johanna James. This is how much I like sleep. For my last birthday, I asked my parents, they were like, what do you want? I was like, I really like some orthopaedic pillows, and I'd like an extra foam mattress on top. They were like, okay, that's a really weird present, but all right, and I don't regret it. My whole bed feels like a massive boob, it's great.
Hello and welcome. My name is Callum McSwiggan, and this is my brand new show on FUBAR Radio.
I work really hard on curating like a lovely group of really diverse, interesting people on Twitter, just so that...
Callum, I have seen your reply.
Look,
don't come to me with your I'd like to curate a list of interesting, sexually attractive young single men. They come up on my timeline, you thirsty bastard.
Welcome to Screen Talk. I'm Dan Clark, and we have a wonderful show for you today. When I was a kid, I believed that Yoda from the Star Wars films was real. Actually real. I thought it was a real thing. At some point in my adult life, I remembered that I used to think it was real. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, can you imagine if he was? And, like, he'd be on talk shows just, like, complaining about being typecast. And
welcome to the show. I'm Ian, and Nat's over there.
Hello.
Sounds moody.
I've been looking at pictures of John Holmes' penis.
Yep.
Because Nat had them on the screen, and I share a screen with Nat. So I just watched Nat basically Google porn.
12-inch, too big.
So what have you been used to then? What's been happening in your life? What do you mean you don't know?
It's
how do you not know your own experience?
Whip out a tape measure. I would cry if I saw that. And probably run away screaming.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio.
You should have just seen everyone's reaction then in studio when I went, oh, we've got 2 seconds. Everyone looked all quite scared. Can I welcome into the studio. I feel like we all need a big round of applause, but it's only us three, and that'd be really awkward.
I think we can make lots of noise.
Yeah, we can. Let's welcome Formula E driver Mitch Evans. Woo! Where's the noise?
I thought you were going to do it.
Mitch, you just whooped yourself as well. You're just like, I'm going to be my own
fan club. I was expecting more from you two, to be honest.
I know, I'm very disappointed in
that. Oh, sorry.
We need to work
it's
on it
a
better.
Slow day.
It's a slow day.
But we are absolutely delighted to have the Formula E driver, Mitch Evans, with us. What a treat.
How are you today, Mitch?
Great. It's Friday. Friday's always great.
Do you know what it is? It is. Have you got any exciting plan for the weekend? Watching the Brazilian Grand Prix?
I'll be watching the Brazilian Grand Prix.
You're not going to be watching the rugby?
I'll probably watch rugby, if I remember. I always forget. Playing Wales, right? I'm a rugby fan, but...
Hang on, it's not. Isn't it France All Blacks this weekend?
Sorry, you're right.
Well done, Olivia Cox. Well done.
Oh, no, if there's any Kiwis listening, I'll be
I thought that Kiwis only watched rugby.
Yeah, they do. It's really sad.
Yeah, they kicked him out, that's why he's here.
I was talking to some of my New Zealand friends earlier today saying what we should quiz you about. And the big question that came from them was how on earth did you get into motorsport when all that anyone gives a shit about in New Zealand is rugby?
You swore.
I did, but it's FUBAR. I'm allowed to sweat. She's nodding, producers are
it's
nodding.
All right.
It's good, it's good.
We got the nod.
Panic over.
Well, I actually did play rugby for a number of years. I'm from Auckland in New Zealand, and yeah, I loved it. I had a cousin that was quite big into rugby league. I was actually more a rugby league player than rugby union, but I was doing racing at the same time, and then it got to a point where I had to sort of choose, and I chose motorsport, and I think that's probably the right choice, not because of what I can do in motorsport, but it's more just my size. I'm like way too small to be a rugby player. I'd be I would have no hope.
How tall are you?
6 foot.
Are you?
No, I'm like, I'm probably like 5'10", if I'm being generous.
6 foot minus three.
Minus a few more. But at 16 years of age then, you became the youngest ever winner of the New Zealand Grand Prix. What was that like for you?
It was
16.
Yeah, it was, well, it feels like a long time ago now, but it was it was an amazing experience, to be honest, because obviously there's not many races in the world now which have that you can call Grand Prix. Mm. Obviously, every Formula One Grand Prix, the Macau Grand Prix, and New Zealand Grand Prix. So, obviously, being a Kiwi, winning this is a big deal. And I went up against quite a few Europeans, like Danny Kvyat, that came down. A lot of drivers came down to New Zealand to race because it's their winter series. It's summer for us, but they come down while it's winter over here to race. And yeah, so it was good competition, and yeah, it's nice to. I think I'm the youngest ever to win a Grand Prix, if that means anything.
Just saying.
Just putting it out there, Guinness Book of Records, if we can put you
I'm
in there.
I'm expecting a call.
That'll be awaiting. And also, you are a protege of Mark Webber. How did that happen? How did your.
The relationship
link?
Start?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was racing in Australia in Formula Ford in 2009, and at the. We're racing as a support category at the Australian Grand Prix, and for some reason I got the opportunity to meet him, and we got along really well, had like half an hour chat with him. I did well that weekend, he saw me on the podium, and then since then he was just, well, from then he was sort of following me a little bit in the background, and then he was wanting to bring someone from Australasia over to Europe and start managing them and put them into his GB3 team. I signed a management contract with him in 2010, came over to Europe 2011.
Wow.
I was living with him for about 5 years. And
he's a lovely man. I met him at Le Mans a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
look at me,
great.
Le Mans, I'm name dropping.
But what's it like living with
Yeah, Mark he's Webber? He's great, you know.
Tell us a secret.
I can't.
Did you, as Australians and New Zealand, did you spend all the time just getting drunk? Oh, she went there. They drink a lot. Obvious joke, Rachel. But was there a lot of pressure? Did you feel like, you know, with someone like Mark Webber who was, you know, train you in a way, did you feel that you always have to be like working out, eating healthy in front of him? And
A little bit.
You didn't at all, did you?
But
no respect.
It's all part of it. We trained together most days, which was great. And kind of hard at the same time because he's like a freak when it comes to fitness. He's a really good athlete.
Yeah.
A freak in a good way.
Okay.
And he taught me a lot of things with the preparation side, mentally and physically for the racing. And obviously helped me with where he could from the racing side. So yeah, he was a huge help, and it was really special because I managed to win the GB3 championship in his team as well. So it was quite cool, and I'm still with him now. So I'm not living with him, but I'm I'm still under his management.
Yeah. And you, I know your dream is to go on and race in F1. Formula E, how challenging is Formula E? And you said as well, you know, that half the field in Formula E are ex-F1 drivers. It's such, in the fourth season coming up, it's grown and grown, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's actually unbelievable how quickly this championship's grown. Mm. It's quite a, obviously, new style of racing, and it's new technology, so everyone's still trying to probably decide whether they like it or not. And yeah, I was in two minds before I got into it in terms of if I liked it.
Yeah.
But honestly, the last season, my first season was like one of the most enjoyable racing seasons of my life. So yeah, I think it's going to take off. It's the future. This technology is going to obviously be not just big in the motorsport world, but obviously bigger in the automotive industry. This is why all the manufacturers are coming in. And yeah, it's got a lot more road relevance than any other championship in the world now. So I'm enjoying it. Obviously my dream was Formula One, and I've been trying for many years.
Is this still your dream?
Obviously yes, but realistically probably not. I came very, very close, but yes, it's a very political, it's a very, very strange game.
What are your thoughts on Brendan Hartley getting a seat?
Yeah, obviously very jealous. but for a country like New Zealand, it's a small place, but also we've had previous F1 drivers before. Mm. And, you know, it's been like 33 years or something since our last F1 driver. So it's big for the country. It's good for New Zealand motorsport.
Mm.
And I wish him the best. Hopefully he can do us proud.
Well, speaking of a small place and that being big for the country, there is news today on the BBC saying that New Zealand keeps getting missed off the map. Have you heard about this?
No.
Oh,
but am I happy?
He's looking quite angry. I'm a bit scared.
Kiwi death eyes from the corner. Yeah, apparently.
Kiwi death eyes. I recognize those eyes. They're Kiwi death eyes.
There are 27,000 subscribers on this post on Reddit, which is bitching and moaning about apparently this is a big thing. There are so many maps being printed and New Zealand is just being completely missed off it.
Well, if you're from New Zealand, would you be angry?
Yeah, but I'm not. My country gets put on the map.
But do you know what? If I was asked to draw a map right now, I would miss many places, let's be honest, because my geography isn't very good.
Yeah.
So it depends. If I drew this, it could have been me that missed it out, and I apologise. Probably missed out the whole of Europe as well.
That's really awkward, mate, because we're in Europe.
Exactly. I would have missed it all out.
It's impressive, actually.
Very impressive. Yeah, exactly. It's quite a feat. Did you ever feel pressure? Because your dad is iconic Kiwi motorsport driver, Owen Evans. Did you ever feel pressure from him to do as well, to do better, to become this big driver?
He put a lot of pressure on me for sure, but it was good pressure. He wanted to, you know, he was quite strong in the fact that it was like, you know, this is not a hobby. This is serious. And yeah, he was very hard on me in go-karts and with my older brother as well, which I think really, you know, it taught me a lot of discipline. I was never ever doing anything right. I was always doing something wrong, which at the time I really, really hated it because,
parents.
Yeah, you know, when you're a kid and you're always getting told off.
Yeah.
But, you know, it sort of really refined my skills, I guess, and my skill set, whether it's my racecraft or just the technique or whatever. And I can really thank him for what he's done, his effort, but also, you know, really sharpening me up behind the wheel. So yeah, he's obviously done a lot in his career, and he's awesome. Still really supportive now. And
does he like Formula E? Did he like Formula E?
Well, he's very old school, right? And he probably had an open mind when he first came to my first race last year in Hong Kong, and he loved it. And he's, you know, I think if you're not deluded and you know what the future holds, you'll sort of convert naturally over to Formula E. I know a lot of sort of traditional motorsport fans are very against it.
It took a lot of time as well, though. I mean, it's still warming up with fans and people appreciating Formula E. But I do remember that first season. And I was out in Le Mans working for Nissan, and we actually, it might have been about four years ago, we had an electric car. And it was the first electric car to do it was only in qualifying, a lap of Le Mans. And everyone's like, oh, this is what is this? The noise? It's not a real car. Yeah. And it was everyone's had that kind of prejudice with electric cars, but it's changing. And I know that Hugo Boss, who's a sponsor for, I want to say Mercedes and F1, but they've actually just switched over to Formula E.
Yeah, I saw that today as well. Yeah, and it's not just, obviously it's a big company, but also all these massive, car manufacturers coming across. So it's in 2 years' time, it's going to be the only championship in the world that's got the biggest car manufacturers in the world competing against each other. And you've got the likes of Audi, Porsche pulling out of like LMP1 and Le Mans to come to Formula E. So it shows the level of interest and relevance that they can market their product and develop their product for, their production cars.
Yeah.
Do you think everything that's happening, all the changes in F1 at the moment with Ferrari giving their quitting warnings, do you think that might mean more of a shift of some of these teams into committing more to Formula E?
Possibly, yeah. I know there's a lot of rumours of the Fiat group, buying an entry into Formula E. I would be, if I was Formula One, I know Ferrari always threats to pull out, they love it.
Yeah, a bit of drama.
Yeah, a bit of drama. But it's, the thing is, the technology, there's no road relevance in Formula One at the moment, where Formula E has got that road relevance and that sort of, that future sort of target. So I can't imagine them pulling out, but the thing is Formula One wouldn't be the same without Ferrari. So they can't take these sort of threats lightly. But you also can't let a team run the championship. So it's an awkward situation for Formula One.
It's lost its spark though, hasn't it? What do you think of Formula One at the moment?
I mean, I love the new cars. Yeah. I'd love to drive the new cars. But obviously, as soon as they brought the new V6 turbo hybrids in, it lost a lot of its excitement. I used to go to Melbourne Grand Prix every year when I was younger, and I just remember I used to love putting my head, my little earpieces in. So I it was so loud. You literally cannot be in the grandstand without
the best
earpieces.
Noise,
it was amazing. You can hear it from just miles away, where now it's just like, you think Formula E is bad, but this is Formula One is not much better in terms of from the noise point of view. Speed wise, obviously, it's a different story, but it's all right. It's all right. I've definitely, it's not where it used to be. Obviously, they're breaking records in terms of lap times nowadays, which is great. But they definitely need to sort out the sound. And,
That's crazy that we're saying that. And we would have said the same thing about Formula E not too long ago.
Yeah.
We're going to take a little breather, but don't go anywhere. Because Olivia, what fitness treats do you have in store for us?
I am going to be talking through some of those secretly fun ways of working out without realising it. Why going to the gym might lose you friends. And
because you should be drinking instead.
I knew you were going to say that.
I love it.
Rachel has a one-track mind at the moment. Would someone get the girl a gin and tonic before she
Yes, expires? Can I demand that?
And finally, talking about supplements and the fourth fuel, which is actually backed by science and might be in your belly soon.
Thanks, Olivia. See you soon.
Fubar Radio. Fubar Radio.
Good afternoon. It's Friday. It's 4 o'clock. It's Back Row and Chill. I'm Johanna James. This is how much I like sleep. For my last birthday, I asked my parents. They were like, what do you want? I was like, I really like some orthopedic pillows. And I'd like an extra foam mattress on top.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James.
Every Friday from 4 p.m.
Hello and welcome. My name is Callum McSwiggan and this is my brand new show on Fubar Radio.
I work really hard on curating like a lovely group of really diverse, interesting people on Twitter, just so that
Callum, I have seen your reply.
Look,
don't come to me with your I'd like to curate a list of interesting, sexually attractive young dingle men.
Callum McSwiggan.
Every Wednesday from 6 p.m.
Oh, hello, my name's Joey Page. I sound like this. He's Sy Thomas. He sounds like that.
I sound like this.
Yeah. And we will be playing Human Top Trumps. I ask all the bands that are on the show the same questions, like the categories from Top Trumps. One question I'm going to be asking the bands is, do you have a nickname? Like, mine's fairly standard. Pagey, Page, Dickhead.
Joey Page.
Every Wednesday from 2 p.m.
Welcome to Screen Talk. I'm Darren Clark, and we have a wonderful show for you today. When I was a kid, I believed that Yoda from the Star Wars films was real. Actually real. I thought it was a real thing. At some point in my adult life, I remembered that I used to think it was real.
Screen Talk with Dan Clark.
every Friday from 12 p.m.
Welcome to the show. I'm Ian, and Nat's over there.
Hello.
Sounds moody.
I've been looking at pictures of John Holmes' penis.
Yep.
Because Nat had them on the screen, and I share a screen with Nat. So I just watched Nat basically Google porn.
12 inch, too big.
So what have you been used to then? What's been happening in your life? What do you mean you don't know? It's how do you not know your own experience?
I don't whip out a tape measure.
Ian Boldsworth.
Every Monday from 2 p.m.
You're listening to Football Radio.
Football Radio.
Football Radio.
Football Radio.
Bar
Radio.
Oh, hello. Slight panic there. Technical. Your hair is doing something frankly marvellous.
Do you know
what?
My hair is so brittle. I could do anything to it.
It's
and it's amazing.
These funky headphones that literally, I think last week I said it's like the, in the fairground arcade rides. Where you grab the minions.
What kind of weird arcade rides? You have humans.
Thought Park.
That you could pick up.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean.
I understand.
That'd be quite cool. That could be a
wouldn't
new dating
cool.
app.
Wouldn't you can't pick up, what, in a fairground ride?
Yeah.
Anyway, fitness. We've got Mitch Evans with us. I don't know why I'm shouting. I've got a mic.
It's good. I heard you.
Yeah.
He's still
his ears
here.
Are bleeding.
We haven't quite scared him out of the studio. Rachel's doing her best.
Honestly, I really am.
The door's closed, don't worry.
It bolted. Is. There's two doors, actually. So, yeah, try your luck.
Actually, before we talk fitness, very, very quickly, because I know that Vettel has named his car, loads of drivers name their cars. I know Vettel, right, I love how he's named his 2017 Ferrari car Gina. What a name.
It's not based on anything. Is his mother called Gina?
I don't know.
No, he's had some classics over the years, to be honest. So.
Yeah. I mean, it lacks imagination. Have you named your car?
No.
Why?
I'm just not into it. Yeah.
But hang on. Don't you have two cars in Formula E?
Yeah, that's right.
So would you... Thank you. Would you... so it's a bit like twins. You'd have to call them two different names.
Are they brothers
or
sisters?
Hang on, I've got another question.
Okay, this really opens
the
door.
Do you know which car is which?
Yeah.
How?
Because like when you're behind the wheel, like you're so at one with the car, you just know little differences between the two.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Ooh.
And I always got a preference as well.
Have you?
Yeah.
Which one do you prefer?
It depends on the track. And because one will behave slightly different to the other.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
like
good.
Horses, ish.
I'm going to say yes, because I was just going to give you a stony silence
but
then.
Sure.
I can't,
sure.
I can't leave her there.
So,
so let's talk fitness before Olivia loses friends. Did you see what I did there?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, right, so there is a fitness Instagrammer who has come out saying that she strongly believes that the reason she lost a load of friends is because she looked too attractive, her body was too on fleek.
Because she is
and,
a wanker.
Yeah, she...
By the
modest.
Sound of it.
Very modest, yeah.
She obviously was lacking modesty.
Oh, wow.
Obviously was from the Southern Hemisphere, so needed to get out the gym.
Australian.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. Makes sense.
Rachel, what do you think about that? Is that why you avoid the gym?
No, I think she's an absolute fool. Who says she's too good looking, too fit. She's a fitness and health influencer by the sounds of it, that's probably bought all her followers and spends her days. What an idiot. Who says that? Who says that they are too hot for friends? It's the most ridiculous thing. It's like, it's just the most ridiculous thing. No, you know what? You do read sometimes people who have lost a lot of weight, they do, their friends maybe might have liked them more as like the fat friend, like the fat funny friend.
Or do you
it's
think,
that
yeah,
kind of thing.
So they,
so
they,
I'll give her that.
They say that people who are less attractive when they're younger are funnier and have more of a personality because they've had to fight.
Yeah, they've got to work at it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't
like,
really like the good looking guys.
This is why we have so much more chat.
Babe, we can make them laugh for days. I'll tell
that
you.
Was a
I wasn't
going to
say anything, but.
Yeah, it kept very quiet in the back. Mitch, what do you think? Do you think this hot Instagram.
I need to see a photo first to see
that's
if she's
point.
Actually talking sense.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But do you think.
Should we tweet
but
that?
But anyway, even if you're like you're very attractive. Yeah,
come
it's
on,
not
Mitch,
cool.
Be careful, you've got a woman behind you over there looking at you. We're all here. It doesn't...
We're heavily outnumbered.
I don't think going to the gym can lose you friends.
No. I actually find the gym a very sociable place.
Oh, I don't talk to people in the gym.
Oh, do you not?
No.
See, I don't, and I have a huge resting bitch face. I give off serious fuck-off vibes. Yet in the gym, it's just about the only place... it's the only place that people will actually come up and talk to me. And I am a little bit like, dude, like... sweating.
Have you not seen this resting bitch face?
Have you
really?
Not seen that? I'm really busy. But yeah, people talk to me in the gym. Odd. Oh,
I'm not social with
others.
Maybe
trying to hit on you or something.
Yeah, that's probably more of it.
But I don't know why.
Are
you
they
do
guys
it
or female?
Yeah, I see where you're going with that. Yeah, they
okay.
are guys.
Yeah, they're just trying to hit on you.
Yeah, okay,
done.
One.
Mitch cool. sorted that. Well,
I'm sure you're a nice girl.
Yeah.
But. Thank you for that validation. Moving on. Yeah. Secretly fun workouts. Now, I wanted to talk about this because yesterday I was invited to Dolphin Square Leisure Centre with Speedo to try out their new range called H2O Active because you go in the water and get active. So essentially, we were wearing Speedos, but like the newer version of Speedos. And it was quite fun. And the point of the workout was to get on these, what I can only describe as paddle boards.
Okay.
But all chained together so that you're like a squad of paddle boards so that if one of you flings
like it,
the other goes flying.
Don't like it.
Done from experience. And then he like got it. Us doing all these like core stability movements and then hit. And the idea was that it's a fun workout
like
and
it.
You don't notice it. And I'll be honest,
like it,
it worked. Like Rachel, do you like that idea?
Don't like it.
It did work your core, but then it got your hair wet.
Olivia. I don't like it. I'm sorry. Number one, I don't like group activities. I don't like people high-fiving me. I'm not that girl. Don't high-five me, really.
Don't taunt her. Don't high-five her.
No. And also, I don't like a lot of things. Don't like water. I like water.
I don't like
don't
water.
Like water.
I like the sea. I don't like chlorinated swimming pools because they will turn our hair green.
What are you saying? My hair's dyed.
Is it not? Mate, that's mate. Not normal. You did not come out like that.
It's funny because it's true.
So I was trying to think up other fun workouts that don't feel like workouts. And there was one I did actually at the beginning of the year, which was called something like Bounce. And essentially you're on these little trampettes and you're squatted. So there's like 20 of you and you've got what I can only describe as a like militant bunny at the front going bounce, 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 bounce. And you do
you
it.
Would you like that, Mitch? Mitch is confused. This is a confused Kiwi on our show.
Okay.
I like that.
I just heard, yeah, can you like describe that again? Things?
You just want the bounce.
Yeah.
Bounce, bounce, bounce.
Okay.
It's essentially trampolining, but a little bit more...
intense or...
bouncy.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. I don't really...
I'm not feeling it.
No.
What's your favourite workout? You can't say driving.
I can't say it on the radio.
Oh, bitch!
No. I like running.
So what, you're a... I was trying to...
I was trying to say there was something
along the lines of sprint, not a marathon, but then...
I'm not helping you,
know,
am
I?
No.
You know what I was trying to say.
This is all quite...
No, I don't actually. Can you elaborate?
No,
I feel like the mum on a date right now.
Since the eye contact, there was a deliberately placed monitor here, so I couldn't see Mitch. Now I can see him giving all that.
This is fun. This happened right now.
The final thing that I want to talk about is that there is a scientifically backed fourth fuel, which apparently this is a new supplement that we can start taking.
Okay.
It has no carbs, no fats, no proteins.
And does nothing for you.
Well, I cannot understand what it is. Apparently it's 120 calories and it's another fuel that your body can use. So our bodies use fat and carbohydrate primarily as fuel.
Yeah.
But apparently this is another one and they've just discovered it.
Was it the same lady that was Two Beautiful Friends that discovered this as well? Because I tell you, she's a busy girl with no friends right now.
And you know what? This was on the Telegraph, which leads me to believe
proper.
That... Yeah, it's
not,
proper news.
It's not the Daily
but
Star.
Here, not that we have anything against that.
No.
Here in the studio, Rachel and I have been trying out something called Boost Oxygen, which is essentially...
Oxygen in a...
In a can.
That's what...
Which is very disconcerting because you pick it up and obviously it's weightless because it's oxygen.
Mm.
So you feel like you've been conned.
Yeah, you do. And it's based, and you put it over your mouth and it's literally air, pure oxygen.
But I think there is something to be said for this because athletes often train at altitude with less oxygen to try and get their bodies using oxygen more efficiently.
Yeah.
So,
and to increase your red blood cell count.
That's because hemoglobin binds to oxygen.
Damn it.
I am doing a PT course right now.
No one's worked a copy or anything. I can't be part of this conversation at all.
I don't really know what having more oxygen would do, but apparently it is good for a workout.
Is it good to get... Okay, this will be totally wrong. So you can listen to what I'm about to say, or you can just you know, tune out for a moment. But is it good to get pure oxygen? Because, you know, being in a city and stuff, we have... real dirty.
Yes, there is on the tube right now, there's a campaign which is a coffee cup and it's like got all this dirt and ash and stuff, and it said something like if you could see the dirt in the air you wouldn't want it, or something like that.
And then we should all move to New Zealand because that's the most, like, the cleanest air
if you can find it, because it's not on any of the maps.
You're like, I've got it, it's a fact about New Zealand. Boom.
It's not only just the best country in the world, it's got the best air.
You also, your national animal is a hedgehog with a beak.
Like my beak.
Dirty dog. Dirty dog coming from the cocks in the corner.
Did I do something to her before I came in?
Huh?
Did I do something to her before I came in?
Yeah.
Oh, that was said with love.
I think we're in the playground right now.
I feel that love.
I think she'd pull her hair and, oh, it's, no. It's
what's like the happen. English national animal?
Do we have an animal?
A anybody? Flag? No, St. George's animal. Cross?
No, do we have an animal? Do we have a dog?
A corgi?
Probably the dog.
Oh, wait. The queen stops us from killing a swan.
Yes, they're protected. Swan. They are vicious little...
They're little shits. If you see a swan run a mile, I'll tell you, that beak with no teeth is a killer. On that note, Mitch, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks, Mitch.
You start, your first race is in December, is that correct?
Yeah, in 3 weeks.
Oh my God, it's 3 weeks.
Oh my God.
Yeah, 3 weeks, yeah. So in
Countdown
Hong Kong.
Countdown is here.
Oh wow. Yeah. So have you got, are you training right now? Are you getting yourself ready? What are you doing?
Yeah, well, all our testing's finished now, so it's just more like virtually on simulators. We do some driving, working hard with engineers. I race for Jaguar, by the way. And yeah, we're just preparing ourselves for Hong Kong and the season ahead. It's a bit of an odd sort of format in terms of the season. We start in December and finish in July, where the traditional sort of motorsport season starts sort of, you know, March, April, and goes to November, December. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the championship. We're going to some amazing cities, and all the listeners, if they want to, you know, tune in, please watch. It's different, but it's amazing racing. Mm. Some great competitors, apart from me.
You're great.
Played right to that.
Thanks. There we go.
She might like you now.
But yeah, it's really cool. It's taking off. It's getting huge, and jump on the bandwagon.
Sweet. Well, we'll see you there. We'll go and watch.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Can we have a round of applause for Mitch Evans, please? They're clapping out there as well.
Yay. Thank
you very
Mitch.
Much, Mitch. And don't go anywhere, guys. We'll be back in just a few moments.
FUBAR Radio presents
Callum McSwiggan.
I am joined by David. I think half the fun of going to somebody's house party is going and having sex in their house. The Halloween party I threw last year, my bedroom, I said.
Of course it was your bedroom. He didn't change the sheets as well. When he went to bed, he just really enjoyed it.
But I was just like, you know, people have sex at parties, and you can either be open about that and be like, look, here's a place to have sex if you want to have sex, or you can have people fuck in your kitchen.
It's not that long. Just call an Uber girl. Just go home. Like, you had a great time. Like, I don't need to just sit there with, like, a boner or whatever. Just be like, you know what, David, this was so fun. Like, we'll talk tomorrow. I'm going to go have sex now.
Every Wednesday.
Callum McSwiggan.
From 6 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
We're just saying goodbye to Mitch. Bye, Mitch!
Bye, Mitch.
Bye, Mitch. Do you know what? You two had a rapport, I have to say.
What can I say? The Kiwis love me.
They do. It was a moment. We were all moved, I felt. And I did say, I feel like either the parent on a date or just the parent on a date, basically. There's no ifs, no buts. Wasn't he lovely?
Oh, yeah. What a sweetheart.
What a sweetheart. So we were talking about the oxygen in the can.
Yeah, boost oxygen. And I want to talk a little bit more about this because I think it has very, very many functions. So on the can, it specifically says things like it can help reduce your appetite. It can help with after sports or after fitness training. It can aid recovery. I suspect if you were to use the oxygen during your workout, it would probably aid your performance because you're allowing your body to utilize oxygen by giving your body that little boost. your heart can then
pump more.
I think
it's a brilliant idea. It really, really is.
It's brilliant and it's really tasty.
Yeah, it comes in many different flavours. And like you say, it's a brilliant idea when you are working out. Instead of kind of maybe going for the energy drinks that aren't that good for you, I'm a real espresso girl. I have many, many, many until my heart hurts. It's very bad.
Rachel's coffee
it.
Habits really freak me out.
That's adorable. It's one of my quirks, Olivia.
Because she, the first time Rachel and I went for coffee, she came in and she was all anxious and she said, I've got to get this over and done with. So she went and bought a bottle of sparkling water and probably a double espresso.
Always a double, babe.
And sat there, psyched herself up like someone about to do a shot of tequila.
That's correct.
Downed the espresso in one, pulled a face like death.
Yeah.
And went, oh my God, I'm glad that's over, and drank her water.
Yeah.
Which I found strange because to me, the experience of drinking coffee is quite pleasant.
It's disgusting. Absolutely hate coffee. Have to get it over and done with. I either, it's always a coffee and a chaser. Obviously, before 12, if you have wine, people look at you. So I have water. Absolutely hate it.
Speaking of wine, the other use of Boost Oxygen, which I discovered today, tried and tested purely for your benefit. I destroyed myself last night.
Destroyed myself.
To aid my research to find out whether or not extra oxygen could help your recovery.
Because we all know what that's like when we feel like someone has, I don't know, crawled in, well, for me, crawled inside my mouth and died.
There was little men in my head hammering every time I tried to move. There was the necessity to eat everything and also nothing, which was confusing. So rather than move, I reached rightwards to my
get
bottle
it right, Olivia.
Of,
get
sorry,
it right. We want
details.
A clear picture.
I'm trying to create a mental picture. I'm a very, very visual person. What can I say? Grabbed my oxygen, held my nose because I thought I'm just going to leave my mouth in there so that I was only breathing in through my mouth and then breathe out through my nose. This is the lazy part of me. I didn't want to have to move the nozzle from my face.
Honey, we're all with you.
And I do think it seemed to work. And I remember just when we finished uni, some of my friends who trained to be doctors would say that they would get themselves on an IV drip or with the oxygen mask after a night out. So cheaper way than putting yourself through medical school in order to access that kind of equipment.
I'm kind of touched. You think I could get through medical school? Thanks, babe. I'm taking that one.
Try out Boost Oxygen.
Yeah, please do. Now, I mentioned at the top of the show that I went to the Football Blacklist on Wednesday evening. Absolutely amazing to be part of it, to be there, to see Leo Mann and Rodney Hines and the work that they have done tirelessly campaigning to get black people from the black community who work in football, getting their name known and their voice heard. And we've got a little package put together for you now of some of the interviews I did from the Football Blacklist. Well, we're here at the Football Blacklist to celebrate and honour those from the black community working in football, and it looks to be a fantastic night. Lord Herman, are you annoyed that something like this isn't bigger and didn't happen 10 years ago?
Well, I was rather that 10 years ago was all over by now. The reality is that someone said to me recently when I was trying to get some big changes happening, they said, well, you sound as though you wrapped up in 24 years, because that's how we've been going, 24 years of frustration. I said, well, it may be 24 years of frustration for me, but think how many people have been frustrated over a longer period of time, trying to get recognition, trying to be treated fairly, trying to make their way up the ladder. We've now got recognition on the pitch. We want more recognition off the pitch as well. So yes, it's been slow, it's been painstaking, it's been gradualism to the point where we are now, which is a better place than 24, 25 years ago. But we've got to move quickly to get a better place for everyone who are involved in football, whether it's boys and girls, men and women, whether it's in fact disabled people from all backgrounds deserve the opportunity to be treated fairly and with dignity, get recognition and be proud of being in football. And that's what we want. We're still working for it. We've still got a lot to do.
Troy Townsend. I spoke to Leo Mann recently, and he was saying that a footballer actually turned around and said to him, well, you know, what have we got to celebrate? Are you surprised by reactions like that still?
Yeah, I think, you know, take into account Kick It Out is 25 years next year, and there's a debate as whether we call it a celebration or whether we call it a recognition. And I can fully understand why people say, what have we got to celebrate? Because they'll look in senior positions, they'll look at the managerial jobs, they'll look at people on boards, and we're not reflected in those areas. So I can understand, but we have to start somewhere. So we have to start showing that there is people who are doing great work right across the board in the game, and then maybe those people in those prominent positions start to recognise and value those people in their own right.
Rodney Hines, one of the founders of the Football Blacklist. The way football is at the moment, and I don't think there's any black people that CEO position, head of the boardroom, is it changing or is it still a long way off?
It is changing. I mean, I've been a sports journalist now at The Voice for the best part of 20 years, and it is changing. But what I would say, the caveat for me, is it's painfully slow. And hopefully, possibly, what this event can do is showcase the very best of what the community has to offer to the people that need to make those big decisions. So that's why the Blacklist is so important. It's a conduit between the authorities and our community.
Dan Carter. How much of a big deal is it for you to attend something like this?
Yeah, I think it's a big deal in terms of there's not a lot of us that can support this. So if I've got the opportunity to come out and support the Football Blacklist, I think they're doing a great job. So I'm happy to be here.
And let's talk about you, women in football. You know, have you come across the prejudices, not only as a black woman, but as a woman?
Unfortunately, I tick both boxes. No, I think there's not as much prejudice in the game right now. And people like the Blacklist, Kick It Out and all these other initiatives, I think they're doing a great job in limiting those prejudices.
That's it from us at the Football Blacklist. It's been a fantastic evening with some brilliant interviews. We hope you enjoyed it. There we go, the Football Blacklist. I hope you enjoyed that package. I absolutely loved to be part of it. It's just brilliant. Very emotional as well to be there. It really, really is. And Leo Mann, Rodney Hines did a fantastic job. And I see every year getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, to stay with the theme of football, we've only got a few minutes left. Two things very, very quickly. Organisers of the England Fans Football Club have a match against Brazil supporters today in honour of former national team manager Graham Taylor at the Bedford and Feltham Ground. They're less than impressed, though, that the FA have promoted on their website an England supporters club game against Germany instead, which is also being played. So England fans, tireless manager Garford Beck called the FA publicly for the rival attraction provocative and divisive. But ooh, I'm just letting you know that that game is going on. So that's the England Fans Football Club. So if you want to give it a quick Google, I want to give them some support for it's being held at the Bedford and Feltham Ground.
Do you want to say that name again?
Bedford and Feltham Ground.
Is it not Brentford?
Bedford.
All right, sorry.
I do have big horse-like teeth, so I do apologise.
I really thought that you'd said that wrong. All right.
Bedford, put my teeth back in.
Bedford.
And before we go, sticking with the... God, Rachel, say it one more time. Bedford. Is there ever any other... I do
can
have those words
validate?
That I can't say.
Is that
I can't
word?
Say omelette. Apparently I say omelette. Omelette.
Omelette.
My mum comes from East London, so I do sometimes get a bit of
East
London.
Do you know what someone said to me today? He was trying to say Dubai, and he said Dubai.
He's just a wanker. That's all I have to not say
Mitch,
on that.
Not Mitch.
No, I don't think Mitch is a wanker. Let's talk about every week. I said that really loudly as well. Inspirational woman in sport. We like to highlight a woman every week from sport. And so today I want to talk about Dorothy Levitt, who became the first English woman reported in the press to take part in a motor race in 1903. She won at the Southport Speed Trials driving a Gladiator. Now, Levitt's racing career rose from a publicity stunt after her boss, an Appiah car company, spied, and here we go, a beautiful secretary with long legs and eyes like pools.
Oh, stop. You wouldn't be allowed to describe someone like
oh
that now, would you?
Oh, my God, no.
That's hilarious.
And eyes like pools. Don't understand. I thought it'd be a great PR stunt to enter her in a race. But Levitt proved a fearless natural, going on set going on and making world records, driving speedboats as well as cars. And I love how fearless she was. So when breaking her own land speed record in 1906, Levitt's diary entry said, "I had near escape as front part of bonnet worked loose, and had I not pulled up in time, might have blown back and beheaded myself."
Wow.
There we go. So that's Dorothy Levitt, who became the first English woman reported in the press to take part in a motor race. And as my father says, I like the cut of her jib.
I like the way that that story was told, as if you were doing some sort of bedtime story with Rachel Downey.
Thanks.
It was very soothing.
It's a bit like Jack and Nori. Do you remember Jack and Nori?
No.
Right.
So it doesn't matter.
So,
but there we go.
Time for the weekend.
I believe that's the end of the show.
Goodness,
it's gone so quickly,
hasn't it? Just
really has. Have you enjoyed it, Olivia?
I loved it.
You've enjoyed the ride. What a ride we've had.
My favourite sport.
He'll love you. Well, look, guys, make sure you all have a wonderful weekend. Go tell yourselves now. Go on, tell them. Have a good week. Well, they're telling themselves to have a good weekend. We will be back next Friday at Pitch Talk, 5 till 6. Tell your friends about us. Tell your enemies about us. Don't tell that Instagrammer who lost her friends because she was too pretty to listen, because I don't want her to listen to this show.
I am at Olivia Cox London.
And I am at Rachel Downey. My Instagram name is Rachel Downey TV because I'm original. And your Instagram name is just Olivia Cox. It's time to go. Yeah. Goodbye.